لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we have two major issues today. We have two major issues today. But before that, in the last class we discussed the time for Salatul Jumu'ah, and we know that it is something that people find very strange, and that is because we are used to doing something because that's how people are doing it, rather than ask how did the messenger do it, Ali, or how did he say that we should do it. Many of the people today are used to, nobody will ask, if they will ask like that, there will be few people will ask, how did the messenger do it? Otherwise, like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah mentioned in Al-Ajwibatu Nafi'ah that we read to us, even the proofs that are employed, the ahadith that are employed to prove that Salatul Jumu'ah should be observed when the sun is going away from the horizon, those ahadith themselves show that the time of Salatul Jumu'ah would have started earlier, because the imam would come to the mimbar. Before he comes on the mimbar, the azan for Jumu'ah will be made. When he comes on the mimbar, we are coming to that today. When the imam comes on the mimbar, I meant to say before he started the khutbah, we will make the azan for Salatul Jumu'ah. So the imam is on the mimbar. We make the azan. He will make the khutbah. He will read Quran. He will make dua. The time that he will do this, at least he will spend 45 minutes to 1 hour. So if the sun will go away from the horizon at 12:45, for example, when would we be expected to at least be in the masjid for Salatul Jumu'ah? From 11:30 is in the masjid. The very serious ones amongst us will be in the masjid at 11:10:30. And they will be making two units of prayer, two rak'ah, until the imam comes. So even upon those evidences that show that the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam observed Salatul Jumu'ah when this sun is moving away from the horizon, how about those evidences like the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, like the hadith of Sa'al ibn Sa'aj al-Sa'idi? These people reported a hadith that indicated that they would have finished Salatul Jumu'ah even before the sun goes away from the horizon. So when did they start to pray Salatul Jumu'ah? When did they go to the masjid for Salatul Jumu'ah, for khutbah? When did they go to reach the masjid for their raka'at, for their nawafil before the imam comes on the mimbar? So people don't usually think, like this. Many times people only want to say, kiniwani kamashe, how did they say we should do it, and then they do it, rather than understanding from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taking the explanations from the Prophet and his companions, and then from the scholars who came after them. The last class we mentioned a number of companions, beginning from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, all of these people and others. They will observe Salatul Jumu'ah before the sun goes away from the horizon. Yet some people will say, I want a park, hello, Salat. The last class we read from Al-Ajwibatu Nafi'ah by Sheikh Al-Albani. someone will wipe off sentiment and say, Albani knows the best. Before Albani came, they were saying. This is Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah. He came before Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. Ibn Rajab was before Ibn Hajar. And before Ibn Hajar named his book, his Sharh of Sahih Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, Ibn Rajab Ibn Al-Hanbali had named his own book to Fath al-Bari. So there was Fath al-Bari before Fath al-Bari. Ibn Rajab's Fath al-Bari came before Ibn Hajar's Fath al-Bari. One of the scholars, Nuruddin Itr, he did a comparative study of both Fath al-Bari, the Fath al-Bari of Ibn Hajar and Fath al-Bari of Ibn Rajab. His conclusion was that he feels that Ibn Hajar himself gained from uslub and tartib from the Fath al-Bari of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah. And one of the biggest scholars of hadith amongst the Hanabila was Ibn Rajab, especially amongst Mutakhirun. Ibn Rajab was a great scholar of hadith. When he discussed this matter in his Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, this Fath al-Bari, his own Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, the 8th volume, he said, rahimahullah, he says, وَذَهَبَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَى كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَى كُتُوسَ وَكَيْهَا أَوَا فَلَكَ لُسَبَهِ Ibn Rajab said, rahimahullah, وَذَهَبَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَى إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ إِقَامَتُهَا قَبْلَ الزَّوَاجِ ذَهَبَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَى إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ إقامتها إقامة صلاة الجمعة قبل الزوال. Many scholars, many كثير من العلماء, many amongst ulama, they have the opinion that it is appropriate to observe صلاة الجمعة قبل الزوال, before the time of Zuhur. He says, وَسَنَذْكُرُ ذَلِكَ فِي مَا بَعْدِ inshallah. We will mention that in greater details later. And that was what he did. In a later time, he started mentioning Athar, including those ones that Sheikh Al-Albani did not mention. Ibn Rajab. The reason I'm saying this is that in the community these days, when people want to set aside an opinion, they blackmail the opinion and set it aside. I can say, oh, he was reading from Sheikh Albani's book. I mean, yes, Albani's opinion, Ibn Rajab's opinion. And he said, rahimahullah, that zahaba ila zalika kafirun min ahli al-ilm, in al-Saliki. Likewise, others among them, even amongst Muasirun, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Athiyuti, in his Sharh of Sahih Muslim, that was his opinion. He also was citing ulama. This thing is known. Don't deny it. And when he was ending it, he says, fear Allah and follow the truth. وَلَا تَكُنْ أَسِيرًا أَتَّقْلِيدٍ Don't be a slave of taqlid. Don't be a POW. POW. You know what POW is, though? Prisoner of war. Don't be a POW to at-taqlid, blind following. Say it is correct if you find it. So I just felt to mention this point. Because we talked about it. Some people can think that it's just a few among scholars. Many ulama amongst the past ulama, they are of that opinion that we can observe Salatul Jummah before Zawal Sham. That would mean from when then will, if people observe Salatul Jummah and end Salatul Jummah before the time of Zuhur, when did the khutbah start? From 9:10 they will have started. So that was why in the earliest times, an Imam Abu Hayyan, he was saying that one of the innovations that the early Muslims, one of the innovations they quickly noticed is that people stopped going for Salatul Jummah early. Because what they were used to is that immediately after Salatul Fajr, you start preparing for Jummah. So it became that people started becoming lazy. After Salatul Fajr, people start getting ready to to prepare to go to the masjid for Salatul Jummah. Just the way we behave on the days of Ayyad, on the days of Eid. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he cited a lot of athar from the early Muslims. One of them said that Salatul Jummah is the Eid of the week. He said so it should be observed at the times that the Eid is observed. He said the time for Salatul Jummah is the time for Salatul Eid, because Salatul Jummah is what? Salatul Eid. So it's not strange at all. It's not strange at all. It's not strange at all. Like ulama always say, they will say that alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilahu. Lakin jahlu man jahilahu. The ignorance of the one who does not know it. La yasiru ilman. It cannot be taken as knowledge. Aima entioma ulejima. Entioma umanani. Aima ulejima. Kaske intimu umanikwe. Intoma ya imakani. Intimu umanikwe. Aila la man kijima. Intoma ya se. Aima kani ulejima. I hope that this point is clear. Because of the kind of community and society that we need. We always encourage people. When you do something that people don't know about, explain to them, educate them first. Let education be much more in what you do, enlightenment. Because you too didn't know it yesterday. You only knew it today. So if they didn't know it, teach them to, explain it to them, let it be known, so that it will not become strange. Allah makes it easy for all of us. What we like to mainly discuss today is about Khutbatul Jummah. Khutbatul Jummah. Ahkamuha wa adamuha. The rulings regarding khutbah on the day of Jummah. And some adab, manner regarding the khutbah. Khutbah of the Imam on the day of Jummah before Salatul Jummah is what we want to discuss. But this discussion can come in, we will make it be inshallah in two ways. Today we will address the Imam. We have about 14 points today, inshallah. I hope that we can exhaust them. They are just some of them. Some of the ahkam and adab that are allahu bil imam, that are connected to the imam. These issues are regarding the imam on the day of Jummah. How does the Imam conduct himself on the day of Jummah during the time of khutbah? Because another way of conducting himself is when he observes the Salah. So that's not our issue today. From the time the Imam comes in the masjid, climbs on the minbar, what are the things that the Sharia either orders him to do or encourages him to do? And then some of the things that some of our imams do on the minbar will be addressed to each other. This is the second issue we like to talk about. And the third issue we like to talk about are a few things, one or two things about Ramadan, inshallah. Because it's most likely that we will be starting Ramadan tomorrow. Most likely. In our own country, today is the 29th of Sha'ban. But in Saudi Arabia, today is the 30th of Sha'ban. So in Saudi Arabia, they've announced it already. They will be starting fasting tomorrow. So it means this night, they will observe Qiyam Ramadan, Salatul Taraweeh, in Saudi Arabia this night, inshallah. So for us, we don't know whether we'll observe Salatul Taraweeh. We'll be waiting for the announcement of our own leader too. I said something in the night yesterday when the announcement of Saudi Arabia came up public. I said, in their own country, They have not burned the person who will announce before government announces. They have not burned that person. Did we hear what I say? The person, the individual who will announce in Saudi Arabia that people should fast before government officially does so, they have not given birth to that person. He's still in his mother's womb. But in our own country, we are largely lawless. Everybody wants to say something. So vanguard, we talk, punch, we talk. Are those people our sources? We are not. So why listen to them? Why do they speak for us? Vanguard say, punch say. Listen to the man. The world has changed. In the past, we used to have radios we put on our ear. You don't need that again now. So let everybody, don't call anybody to ask for anything. You will receive it as you are receiving messages. But be careful about false WhatsApp transfer and forward messages. Because people are used to forwarding lies. In fact, a Christian can construct something and forward it. All the people will be forwarding it without confirmation. So be patient and confirm your information. So you don't need to start calling people about it. You don't need that. Just be patient. Prepare for Sahur tomorrow. And before the time that you take that Sahur, information will be clear cut. It won't be ambiguous at all. So this is the third issue we'd like to talk about. So quickly, inshallah, because of time, we come to the khutbah of Imam. What is the ruling of khutbah on the day of Jummah? I always say the people, we do so many things, we don't know the rulings for them. If one little young boy now, Afa, can you your khutbah? Your Jummah. What is the ruling of khutbah on the day of Jummah? Is it wajiba? Is it shart min shurut al-Jummah? Is it rukn min arkan al-Jummah? What is it? Is it a shart? Is it a condition for Jummah? Is it an obligation? Is it a rukun? Something regarding which if you don't find it, then there is no Jummah. What is the ruling of the khutbah itself on the day of Jummah? The large majority of the ulama are of the opinion that the khutbah is sunnah. Sunnatun mu'akkada, they said. But others amongst them said that it is wajibah. And their view appears, Allahu A'lam, most correct to say that Jum'ah, the khutbah of Jum'ah is wajibah, it's compulsory. It is sinful to be missing the khutbah of Jum'ah. It is a sinful thing, don't miss it. That is the implication of it being from the wajibat on the day of Jum'ah. So khutbatul shuhudul khutbati wajibun. To witness, come and witness the khutbah on the day of Jummah is obligatory. And not sunnah mu'akkada. It goes beyond that. And the first proof for that is the verse in the Quran. In that verse, there are two proofs in it. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha nudiya lissalati min yawm al-jum'ati. What did he say? Fas'au ila dhikrillah. He says, Fas'au ila dhikrillah. Prepare and go for a remembrance of Allah. Prepare and go for zikrullah. Prepare and go for zikrullah. This zikrullah, he says, prepare and go. So it is compulsory to prepare for it. That's why ulama say, whatever going for it, if going for it is compulsory, if preparing and going is compulsory, then what you are going to do is compulsory. This verse also is the evidence that Salatul Jummah is wajibah. So that zikrullah is the issue amongst ulama. Some say, فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that zikrullah in this verse refers to salat alone. Others say, no, it refers to khutbah. understand, it refers to both Salah and Khutbah. And this appears to be the most correct view. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ لِذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, that we prepare to go for on the day of Jummah. There are two things. The first one is what? Al-Khutbah. The second one is what? Salatul Jummah. Because they are both from Zikrullah. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The Imam comes on the day of Jummah. He says Taslim. He begins to say, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ. He reads Quran. He reads Salatu ala Nabi, he makes more ego and all of this. All these things he's doing. What are they? Zikrullah. When he finishes, he comes down on the mimbar and comes to lead the people in Salatul Jummah. The Salatul Jummah is what? Zikrullah. So both the Salah and the Khutbah fall under this category. To ask, فَسْحَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ is evidence that Salatul Jummah is wajibah. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ is also evidence that the khutbah is what? Wajibah. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ involves both what? The salah and the khutbah. So this is the first point that indicates obligation. Then it says, وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ, abandon your business transaction. It's another command to show that zikrullahi is obligatory. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Arabi. I have to clarify it because there are two Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Arabi. One is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. This is an Imam of Sunnah. The second one, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Arabi, without the ma'rifa. Ibn Arabi is a Sufi Munharif. He was among those who referred to himself as Allah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Arabi, not Ibn al-Arabi. Unfortunately, we say al-Maliki. The two of them, they are from Madhab Malikiya and Madhab Fikhiya. So, quickly knowing that Ibn Arabi is Sufi Munharif. Ibn al-Arabi is Sunni Mustaqim. So they are different. So Al-Imam Ibn al-Arabi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, like the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Ibn al-Arabi, he has his book of tafsir, Ahkam al-Qur'an. He affirms all of what we have said in Ahkam al-Qur'an. And Al-Imam al-Qurtubi took them both from him and affirmed it. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi in Al-Jami' al-Ahkam al-Qur'an affirmed the statements of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Arabi in Al-Jami' al-Ahkam al-Qur'an. That's why Al-Imam ibn al-Arabi said, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ وُجُوبِ الْخُطْبَةِ. That's fast. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْتِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْتِ. He said, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ وُجُوبِ الْخُطْبَةِ. He said, Rahimahullah. He says, وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ وُجُوبِهَا. What makes us understand that the khutbah is obligatory? أَنَّهَا تُحَرِّمُ الْبَيْعِ. The khutbah, تُحَرِّمُ الْبَيْعِ. It makes business transaction prohibited. Once the khutbah commences, no more business transactions. تُحَرِّمُ الْبَيْعِ. He said for that, Rahimahullah. وَلَوْلَىٰ وُجُوبُهَا. ما حرمت. If it were not that khutbah is compulsory, it will not make business transactions prohibited. But it makes business transactions prohibited. It says, لِأَنَّ الْمُسْتَحَبُ لَا يُحَرِّمُ الْمُبَاحِ. الْمُسْتَحَبُ لَا يُحَرِّمُ الْمُبَاحِ. Because something that is only recommended, superogatory, لَا يُحَرِّمُ الْمُبَاحِ. It does not prohibit something that is allowed. Business is allowed. So if khutbah were just something that is recommended, something that is recommended does not make something that is allowed to be prohibited. What makes something that is allowed to be prohibited is what? Something that is compulsory. Let me quickly give you an example, and this will lead me to the next proof that Salatul Jumu'ah, along with its khutbah, are both obligatory. The khutbah is obligatory, just like the salah. Yarhamukallah. Khutbah of the day of Jumu'ah, it is prohibited to speak during the khutbah. It is haram to speak during the khutbah. Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr in At-Tamhid, he said, I do not know anyone among the Fuqaha ul-Amsar. I'm citing Ibn Abdul Barr. He says, I do not know among the Fuqaha ul-Amsar who holds differently, that speaking during khutbah is prohibited. Now, if khutbah makes speaking prohibited, what is khutbah? Obligatory. That's why Al-Imam Ibn al-Arabi says, Rahimahullah, Al-Mustahabu la yuharrimu al-Mubah. If khutbah were only mustahabba, manduba, la tuharrimu al-bay, it will not make bay, trade, which is basically allowed. It will not make it become prohibited. So if we are asked, what is the ruling of khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah? Wajibah. What is the proof for it? Allah says, Fas'aw ila zikrillahi wa darubay. The third manner of proving the obligation of the khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah is the fact that wa'adhaba alayha al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'wamaha. He ever observed Jumu'ah with khutbah. He never observed Jumu'ah without khutbah. If it were not obligatory, even though it was once, he would have left the khutbah li bayani al-jawaz, to show that it is allowed sometimes not to observe the khutbah, that khutbah is recommended, supererogatory. But he never did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is evidence that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam obeyed fas'aw ila zikrillahi wazaru al-bay, and came for both the khutbah and what? And the salah. So the salah of the day of Jumu'ah is compulsory. The khutbah is also as compulsory as the salah. They are both compulsory. They are both from the zikr of Allah for that day of Jumu'ah and that time of Jumu'ah. There are issues here, but I think we can proceed. This is the first point we like to raise to. We have 13 other issues. So the first issue about khutbatul Jumu'ah is hukmuha. And the hukm of khutbah of Jumu'ah is what? Wajiba. What is the proof? Fas'awilat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exemplified that sa'yu ila zikrillah, going for remembrance of Allah. So he never disconnected the khutbah from the salah. He always, all his khutbah were with his salah. So it would mean that his fi'l is fi bayan al-amr, that he is observing the khutbah and the Jumu'ah salah together. Is fi bayan al-amr, is by way of explaining how we should exemplify that command, fas'aw ila zikrillah. فَلَهُ حُكْمُهَا. So it will have the same meaning with الْفِئِلُ فِي بَيَانِ الْأَمْرِ لَهُ حُكْمُهُ. الْفِئِلُ فِي بَيَانِ الْأَمْرِ لَهُ حُكْمُهُ. The actions that explain, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, the actions that explain a command, have the ruling of that command. So if that command is compulsory, what will the action be? Compulsory. So the khutbah is compulsory. This is the view of many of the ulama too. I think we can proceed. The second thing about the khutbah is that it should be made on a minbar. It should be made on a raised platform. Lexically, this is the meaning of minbar. Everything that is raised up, the minbar is, it raises you up. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to make the khutbah on the bare ground. So he will lean on a tree, one of the trees, and then he'll be making the khutbah. The companions went to him and said, Messenger of Allah, take a platform. So that when you stand on that platform, everybody who comes will see you and differentiate you from the rest of us. So he took that platform. He asked a carpenter. At that time, the entirety of Medina had only one carpenter. And that carpenter was a slave to a woman. So the messenger requested her to request the carpenter to make a limba for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went, Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi reported this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So they both went into the desert to search for the tree. He mentioned the name of the tree, Asl. They went to search for the tree. That tree grows around river areas. You know, it will be strong tree, strong wood. When a wood grows around rivers, you find it strong. It soaks water well and it becomes very dry. So they got that wood and the carpenter made the limbar from it. And it was brought to the Prophet's masjid. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That minbar has three staircases. 1, 2, 3. So if you go to a masjid and the minbar has more than three staircases, what have they done? They have innovated. Three staircases. 1, 2, 3. So that minbar, some of the ulama say it was placed. And Imam Ibn al-Qasim amongst the Hanabila says, this is majma'un alayh. This is an issue agreed upon, that the minbar should be on the right side if the praying person faces the Qibla. Like we have it in this our masjid. You see where the Imam stands to pray. If he stands there to pray, the minbar is to his what? So it's right. So that is the correct thing. Those of us building mosques, don't build a minbar that will be in the left side of the imam when he stands to pray. Make sure that when the imam stands to pray facing the Qibla, the minbar is aware to his right. So that is the position of the minbar, and that is the structure of the minbar. A thought thing about the structure of the minbar is that the staircases should face the people. Unlike our own hair. Our own hair, when the imam is climbing the minbar, he's facing us. It is wrong. When the imam is climbing the minbar, what should he be doing? He should be backing us. So he will turn at the top of the minbar. To have the imam face us when he's climbing the minbar is wrong. That minbar is not Nabawi structured. The minbar that is correct prophetically is the minbar that when the imam is climbing it, he will be backing us. Because the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, observed a salah on that minbar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he observed the salah, he was facing the Qibla. When he made the ruku, he will be on the Qibla, on the minbar. When he stands up from ruku, he will still be on that minbar. Then he will move backwards so that he can make sujood on the ground, away from the minbar. When he stands up, he will climb the minbar again. He did that so that the people will see his salah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did that on an occasion. I said, the reason I did this is so that you can see my salah. So if that minbar is turned the other way around, how will he climb it in the salah? So the minbar has three staircases, and those three staircases will be facing the people. Such that when the imam comes on the day of Jummah to climb the minbar, what will he be doing? He will be backing us. And at the top of the minbar, he will turn to face the rest of us on the day of Jummah. So istikhazul minbar lil imam is from the thing, the adab, the ahkam, al-muta'alliqatu bil-khutbah. They are from the manners that are connected to the khutbah on the day of Jummah. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reports a hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari that khatabal Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala al-minbar. Khatabal Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala al-mimbar. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said, Samitu nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallama yakhtubu ala al-mimbar. I heard the messenger, the first hadith of Anas is in Sahih al-Bukhari. This second hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So, kusiru yutaka. What you will carry on? The Imam should be on the minbar. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give his sermons while he is on the minbar. Now, standing on the minbar to give a talk is not restricted to Jummah. Is not restricted to Jummah. Every time the man wants to preach, every time he wants to address the people, he could sit on the minbar so that everybody will be listening to him. Al-Imam ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, one of the scholars that we just told us about, Zain al-Din Abu al-Faraj, rahimahullah, he says, وَلَوْ جُمِعَتِ الْأَحَادِيثِ التي فيها ذكر خطب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على المنبر وكلامه عليه لكانت كثيرة جدا. ابن رجب said رحمه الله لو جمعت الأحاديث التي فيها ذكر خطب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على المنبر. If we are to combine and compile all the ahadith in which the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام was mentioned to have given a sermon on a minbar, وكلامه عليه, and he is addressing the people while on the minbar, لكانت كثيرة جدا, there will be many, so many. So ulama from these say that the messenger talking to the people on the minbar is not restricted to the khutbah to Jummah. It's not restricted to the khutbah on the day of Jummah. That is the second point we like to mention about khutbah. The third and the fourth and the fifth point follow themselves in a single hadith. So we'll take them together. The first one is Julusul Khatibi ala al-minbari inda ta'zim. Al-Khatib, the person giving the khutbah. That is the name of the person leading Salatul Jummah. What are they referred to? Khutbah. One of them is called Khatib. The person giving a khutbah is referred to as what? Khatib. Khatib. So you can say he is a Khatib of Masjid Kaza Kaza. Masjid Fulan. This is their Khatib. But in these days, people like Imam, because that's a bigger thing. Imam, otherwise, Khutbah is okay for us. Because the Imam can be confused for the Imam in knowledge. The Imam can be confused for Imam, for being an Imam in knowledge. And people want to resemble that one. So instead of sufficing with Khatib, they will choose to be referred to as what? Imam. That it has become a title. Imam, Lagbaja, like some MSF people too. We say this, and that is the truth. Someone becomes an Amir of a group of MSFs, Amir Fulan. So it's like you make a card, business card, say Amir Abdul Fattah, Amir Abdul Wasi, Amir. It's not in Sunnah, it's not Sunnah. More so, you've left the position of leading young people. And for a group of people to refer to themselves as Amir, a group of Muslims have a leader, call him Amir. Some of the ulama say it's an innovation. Because that word Amir is a technical word in our Sharia. It's not allowed to use it like that. We'd always be saying this. So someone likes to call himself Imam, Imam. Khatib is okay for you, sir. Khatib. Khatib of Lekki Mosque. Khatib of VGC Mosque, Khatib of Laniho Mosque, Khatib of... It's okay for you. Be humble for yourself before Shaitan misleads you with arrogance. May Allah protect all of us. So the Khatib sitting on the minbar on the day of Jummah, and he is answering the Muazzin when the Muazzin we'll mention it, we'll clarify it with Mila. The second point after that is that when he is on the mimbar, that is when Muazzin will call the Salah for Salatul Jummah. The Imam will come. He will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We will mention all the proofs for all these. The Imam, when he comes on the mimbar, maybe we should start from there. When the Imam comes on the mimbar, Sallam alanna. He makes the salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We answer him, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Muazzin will now start. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. After the Adhan, the Khatib stands up to give his khutbah. This is the tarteeb, this is the arrangement. The first thing is that Imam comes, he climbs the mimbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The rest of us answer, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Muazzin starts, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. From the duties of the Imam is to do what? Yujib. He'll be answering the Muazzin. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The Imam will do what? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Like the rest of us. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He will answer to Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I hope that it is clear. And after that, La ilaha illallah. When the Muazzin ends the Adhan, the Imam will say La ilaha illallah. So Muazzins, when they end Adhan, they too say La ilaha illallah. They are not commanded to do that. To say La ilaha illallah, to say Salatu ala Nabi, to say Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tama, is for those of us listening to the Muazzin. I think we discussed these issues on the Masailul Adhan and the Iqam. So this is the tarteeb, so we should start from there. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إذا صعد المنبر سلم كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صعد المنبر سلم. This hadith occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah. Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi also reported it in Sunan al-Kubra. It says that the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا صعد المنبر, when he climbs on the mimbar, what does he do? Sallama. He makes the seal. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's the proof. He can say to Imam, never to go to mimbar, Assalamu. When he climbs, Assalamu alaikum, say alaikum wa sallam. Why? The anna nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iza sa'id mimbar, sallam. When he climbs the mimbar, he makes a taslim. Wa qad saha an Uthman bin Affan. And it's also authentically reported that Uthman bin Affan too used to be so. And then Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Umar bin Abdullah Aziz, وغيرهم من السلف. It is authentically reported from them that, like the Prophet will do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they climb on the mimbar, they make taslim. Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahihah, he was extensive on this issue. Number 2071. I would like us to go back to Silsilat al-Sahihah, 2071. He was extensive on that and his discourse was very beneficial. So that is the first thing that the Imam will do. And that is our third point. The fourth point is that he sits down. After his taslim, what does he do? He will sit down. It means the Imam can have a chair there on the third platform. 1, 2, 3. Sit down. He can sit down on the third one if it is convenient. So he will sit down. He can take a chair to sit down. So the Imam, after taslim, what does he do? Sit down. Zonazi. He will sit down. So this is the fourth thing about the Imam's adab. The fifth thing is that ijaba to the muazzin. As the muazzin is calling the adhan, he'll be making ijaba. He'll be answering him as we described. And the fifth thing we'll talk about, or sixth, regarding that also, is that if there is anything of knowledge that he needs to talk about, he can talk about it, even when he has not started the khutbah. The muazzin ends the adhan, over to the imam, so he can stand up. He has not started his khutbah. And he will start saying, maybe someone does something, he starts talking about it and addressing the issue and providing evidence even before he actually starts his khutbah. Maybe someone did something that is wrong. He needed to call the attention of everybody to it. He can do that. And he has not even started the khutbah. He can now also even do that during the khutbah. He's talking about riba, for example. And someone comes in the masjid, he does not make tahiyyat. They can hear him stand up, make tahiyyat to the masjid. And then he can be explaining to him why the person should make tahiyyat. You know, the discussion on tahiyyat to the masjid is out of the topic of riba. So it's like ta'lim fi ta'lim. At-ta'lim fi tazkir. He is reminding them about riba. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ بِمَا يَتَعَلَّكُ بِهِ صَلَاتِ صَحِيَّةِ الْمَسْجِدِ. So that's the way these issues are. So we'll get all these, inshallah, in this hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan that we seek to read to us. Abu Umama ibn Sahal ibn Hanif said, سمعت معاوية بن أبي سفيان وهو جالس على المنبر. You see, where was he sitting on the minbar? وهو جالس على المنبر. سمعه. He heard him while he was sitting on the minbar. أذن المؤذن. The مؤذن made an adhan. قال الله أكبر الله أكبر. The Muazzin said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, when Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was sitting where? On the minbar. So he had come, made the sleep, and then he sat on the minbar. The Muazzin started the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, qala Muawiyah to Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Muawiyah responded, radiyallahu anhu, responded to that Muazzin's adhan. So as the Muazzin said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what did the Imam say? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Qala ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, faqala Muawiyatu wa ana. He said, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muawiyah said, wa ana. You know, wa ana is one of the ways of making ijaba to the Muazzin. Wa ana, wa ana. That is, I also testify. We discussed these two when we discussed Al-Adhan and Iqama. So you can say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ana. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa ana. That is, I also testify as you testify. So Muawiyah said that, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he responded. He says, Falamma qadha ta'zim. When the call to prayer ended, qala, Muawiyah said, radiyallahu anhu, Ya ayyuhan nafs, O people. It means he had not started his khutbah. The Muazzin was calling the adhan, he was responding. Muazzin called the adhan, he was responding. And then after the adhan, he stood up to talk to the people. He said, O people, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala hadha al-majlisi. I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this place that I'm sitting here. This same place. I heard him. Hina adhan al-mu'adhinu. At the time that the mu'adhin was making the adhan, yakulu ma sami'tum minni min maqalati. I heard him say the like of what you heard me say from what I said. Meaning, the way I was answering the mu'adhin, that was how the Prophet too, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was doing what was answering the mu'adhin. This hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari of al-Imam al-Bukhari. And the ulama say that this is evidence that the individual can be on the minbar, the khatib can be on the minbar. And as the muazzin, the khatib should be on the minbar when the muazzin makes his azan, and he should respond to the azan of the muazzin. And that if he has a need, if one of the brothers observe that kind of a thing here, and people can see that it's strange, quickly explain to the people, oh people, the reason I have done this, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so and so. In fact, from the fiqh of this hadith is that don't take it for granted that people understand. Once you find anything missing that it appears that this thing is strange to them, what do you owe them? Explanation. Explain. Give them evidence as you explain to them, so that you do not put the people into confusion. This hadith is evidence for 3 points. The first point is that julusu hina ta'zim, that the imam, the khatib, was already sitting down when the adhan is being made. The second thing is evidence for that the khatib will do what? He will respond to the adhan. The third thing is evidence for that ta'limun nas, he will teach the people if it is necessary. They have something to teach them, he will teach them. What did Muawiyah teach the people? What did Muawiyah teach the people in this hadith? Now, he taught them that what he has done is sunnah. If you have a need to explain something like that, quickly do it. These 3 points go. There are issues, there are comments, statements of ulama. But I beg us to let us proceed, because that the hadith is sufficient for us to proceed with. Point number, what are we? 6 or 7. ثم يقوم للخطبة. After the adhan, what will the khatib do? He will stand up for his khutbah. Abdullah ibn Umar said, رضي الله عنه, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب يوم الجمعة قائمة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would give his khutbah on the day of Jum'ah while standing. يخطب يوم الجمعة قائمة. Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will give the khutbah while standing. You can ask, why are we talking about this? Because someone can come tomorrow and say, hey, my own khutbah is sitting down. So what will we say to him? Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakhtubu yawm al-jum'ati qa'ima. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give his own khutbah while doing what? While standing. ثم يجلس. After the first khutbah, he will sit down. ثم يقوم. Then he will stand up again for the second khutbah. كما تفعلون اليوم. Ibn Umar said, the way you are doing today, فَنَبِينَا شَمَنْ شَمِيَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. How is that? He will stand up for the khutbah, and then he will do what? He will sit down, and then he will do what? He will stand up again. So how many khutbahs do we have? 2. He will start, then he will sit down. In most parts of Yoruba land, the imam will squat. He will just bend down. He will just bend down. Cool? What is the sunnah? Bidi emale joko. Babale mamu. Sit down. So why should he sit down? That is the sunnah. Ikhwa, avoid quarrels with people on matters of knowledge. Knowledge should not bring trouble. It should clarify issues, it should not bring trouble. When you see knowledge people are fighting, there is something under it. Either insincerity, love of praise, or anything. I always say this, ija imauli faja. Imani oni jaja. So when Sabati one Jan Diego in Kami one day. I'm lying, can you understand? Knowledge, you can't correct knowledge. You won't correct. When you see quarrel, there's another thing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to observe his khutbah qa'iman while standing. And then he would sit down. And then he would jukun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Summa yakum, then he would stand up again to make the second khutbah. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu, not Jabir ibn Abdullah. And there were many companions who had that name, Jabir. It's a good name to have. I hope I have a son that I'll name Jabir. I like Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And now Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu. He was a learned companion. Ibn Samura. He says, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخطب قائما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would give his khutbah while standing. ثم يجلس. Thereafter he would sit down. ثم يقوم ويخطب قائما. Then he would stand up again and give his second khutbah while what? While standing. He said, رضي الله عنه, فَمَنْ نَبَّعَكَ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَخْتُبُ جَالِسًا فَقَدْ كَذَبَ. مَنْ نَبَّعَكَ, anybody who informs you that كَانَ يَخْتُبُ جَالِسًا, that the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام would give his khutbah while sitting down, فَقَدْ كَذَبَ, that person has erred. كَذْ used to mean error. He has erred. فَقَدْ وَاللَّهِ صَلَّيْتُ مَعْهُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَلْفَيْ صَلَاتٍ. I have prayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than 1,000 times. Ulama say it does not mean if you count it, it can reach up to 1,000. But that is the way we speak to. If you are 4 years old, older than someone, you can say, I'm older than you 10 times. Just by way of emphasizing that you are older than him. So what Jabir ibn Samura did, فَقَدْ صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَلْفَيْ صَلَاتٍ, that I have observed with the Messenger more than 2,000 salah. It does not mean that if you start counting it, you will find 2,000 salah. He's saying it ala babi tawqid, by way of emphasizing that I have prayed with him how many times? Many times. Anyone who tells you that the Messenger sat down to make khutbah, فَقَدْ كَذَبَ, that person has done what? He has erred. So that tartib that we gave to us, this hadith of Jabir ibn Samura occurs in Sahih Muslim. So of course occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan al-Nasa'i. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi also reported. Al-Imam ibn al-Munzir, Abu Bakr ibn al-Munzir, he now explains that tartib again. He says, الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ عَمَلُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ عُلَمَاءِ الْأَمْصَارِ. What the actions of the scholars, the people of knowledge, among the scholars of the various cities, what they were upon is what مَا يَفْعَلُهُ الْأَئِمَّةُ, is the same thing we see the imams do. وَهُوَ was in his time, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, and he is مُعَاصِرَ of people like Ibn Khuzaymah. Abu Bakr ibn al-Munzir, the author of Al-Awsat, he also authored Al-Insaf, he also authored Al-Ijma, Rahimahullah, he was a great scholar of Hadith and Fiqh. He is Mu'asir of Al-Imam ibn Uzaymah. That is around the period of Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, around the time of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i. He was alive at it. Ibn al-Munzir, Rahimahullah. Said, what the scholars of the cities are saying is this thing that we see our imams doing. It means up to his time, yes, the sunnah is still upon that. What is that? وَهُوَ جُلُوسُ الْإِمَامِ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ. Imam comes and sits on the minbar. أَوَّلَ مَا يَرْقَى إِلَيْهِ. The first time he climbs the minbar, he sits down. But before sitting down, what will he say? السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ السَّلَامَ. So he sits down. And then, وَيُؤَذِّنُ الْمُؤَذِّنُ وَالْإِمَامُ جَالِسٌ. the Muazzin will make his Azan while the Imam, the Khatib, is what? He will be on his seat. فَإِذَا فَرَضَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ مِنَ الْأَذَانِ قَامَ الْإِمَامِ When the Muazzin finishes his Azan, the Imam will stand up. فَخَطَبَ خُطْبَةً Then he will give a khutbah. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ The Imam will sit down. وَهُوَ فِي حَالِ جُلُوسِهِ But at that time that is in the condition of sitting down, غَيْرُ خَاطِبِ He will not be giving any khutbah. وَلَا مُتَكَلِّمِ He will not be saying anything. وَأَمَا دِينَ لِرِ The Imam will kill and so on and so on. What are you saying? Except that people are not curious anymore. Kill Imam will say, "Into my Let Imam do anything and go. Nobody will ask him, why did he do it? Our curiosity about things like this are low now. Allahu al-Musta. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes taqbeer, Allahu Akbar, he will keep quiet. Before he hears him say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in Salah. Abu Huraira went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulallah, sukutuka hadha. بين التكبير والحمد لله ماذا تقول to بدك when you keep quiet between تكبير الله أكبر تكبيرة الإحرام and the time you begin to say الحمد لله لوري ركيل وما ويجانا عوا نيوي نايا يمان نسأل الله السلام والسلام we don't people not ask you that if I don't think that you like you know that you say they can go about to broadcast you that you did want to know if they think that it is bad That is what we have become. When he does something, we thought, oh, why did he do it? Ask him. Salhu yusaddiquka. Ask him. He will tell you the reason why he did it. We went to Zaria once to see Mala Muhammad Awal al-Albani. May Allah forgive him. So he led us in Salatul Maghrib. He did one thing in that Salah. After the Salah, one of the brothers we went with from Kaduna asked me, so why did he do that thing? I said, look here, this is a learned person. Don't ask him. If you want to ask him one-to-one. He said, okay. So we started discussing issues, many other things. The Malam was raising issues. I think the brother was not his... You know, many of us, we are like that. Will be boiling. When you know one thing, just one, you think, why is he wrong on this? If he is wrong on only one, how about the other ones that he has known now? Let him be wrong on that one. You know that one, he doesn't know it, have you? Alhamdulillah. How about the millions he knows, you don't know? And one thing happened that day, I will tell us to. So he asked him, Alam. He had almost 5 references. When we left, I said, I don't tell you. Afa sunnah shoro koju. Wallahi. Afa sunnah. Tuni nusus lawati afa. O shoro koju. And when you want to ask him well so that he will tell you. If he thinks you are arrogant to him, he will make you suffer in your ignorance. He will look at you like, I makan reo. I won't tell you in his support. Oh, yeah, I'm a kind of God, yes. Yeah, I'm a kind of It's punishment. You don't know. Someone knows. You know that he knows. I didn't tell you. How is that? It will be burning you. If the person is serious, if he doesn't burn you, then the opposite. If the person is serious, it will burn him. If he doesn't burn him, That very day, there was, what's the title of Sheikh Salim al-Hilali's Sharh of Umdatul Ahkam? Zubda. Zubdatul Afham. Zubdatul Afham was in his shelf. Malam al-Bani Zubda, he has read it, tired. The binding has dropped. The brother just bought Zubdatul Ahkam few days before that. So when he asked that question, I smiled. Malam went inside to bring something for us. I touched it, said, see Malam Zubdaw. He said, okay, mashallah. When we were in the car, I told him, I said, do you know why I showed you his own Zubdatul Afham? You just bought Zubdatul Afham yesterday. Look at his own Zubdatul Afham. So what he back? He can't do. So when you relate to somebody, be careful, be easy with you. Be easy with you. May Allah be easy with all of us. So the Imam will make the khutbah, he will sit down, he will make the khutbah again. And then he will sit down. He says, فَخَطَبَ خُطْبَةً ثُمَّ جَلَسَ وَهُوَ فِي حَالِ جُلُوسِهِ غَيْرُ خَاطِبٍ وَلَا مُتَكَلِّمٍ. That time the Imam is sitting down between the two khutbahs, he will not say anything, he's not doing anything. Many Jama will say, nobody has gone to ask Imam. The Imam will kill Imam so whatever bere ugana. Like we mentioned to us, don't forget. He say bere. Iyaman shekini. Iyaman joku. The Imam's half time during the khutbah. It's not the time out. It's the time for him to sit down and rest. And it's very medical and scientific. If you stand up for 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, is it not recommended that you sit down for 1, 2, 3 minutes before you stand up again? This deen is ease. So then he stands up for the second khutbah. But that time he's sitting down. He's gairu khatibin wala mutakallim. He's not doing any khutbah, he's not saying anything to anybody. ثُمَّ يَكُومُ فَيَخْتُبُ الْخُطْبَةَ الثَّانِيَةَ. Then he will stand up. فَيَخْتُبُ الْخُطْبَةَ الثَّانِيَةَ. Then he will stand up and make the second khutbah. ثُمَّ يَنْزِلُ عِنْدَ فَرَضِهِ. When he ends the khutbah, يَنْزِلُ. When he finishes, he will come down to lead the second. This statement that I have read to us, this 13, is from who? Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir in his book Al-Awsat, the first volume, page 66. I think that's about Imams coming to the Mimbar. The first thing is that he climbs the Mimbar and says what? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. What do we do? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. After that, Muazzin takes. He calls the Adhan. As the Muazzin is calling the Adhan, how should the Imam be? The Imam should be sitting down, not what? Not standing. And what should he be doing? He should be answering the Muazzin. When the Muazzin ends the Salah, what should the Imam do? He should stand up for his khutbah. So how does he start the khutbah? Many times when khutbah stand up for khutbah, you hear them say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahi rahmani rahim, adadale lushayt. Don't do it again. It's wrong. Mashallah. Proceed. The person making khutbah, he comes on the day after. He wants to start khutbah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. If he does not go that hard, Masofa a'udhu billahi ma. Don't say that again. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd. He has a very good book. I had mentioned it a few times. Tashih al-Dua. Perfecting our remembrances of Allah. So he mentioned things that are sunnah. He mentioned things that are innovated. One of the innovations is to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. And the next thing that people say, Hey, Jama'a, Mokiyo. Your own statement? What should follow A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim is what? Quran. Some brothers too, when they're in a meeting, they say, Afa, ayyasar, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. My own opinion is that your own opinion should not come after istiazah. After we make istiazah, what should we do? Quran. Faiza qara'at al-Quran, fasta'in billah. So istiazah is for what? Qira'atul Quran. So don't start khutbah with isti'adha. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd said, Rahimahullah, وَلَا تُشْرَوْ الْإِسْتِعَاذَةُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ كَلَامِ مَحْبُوبٍ لَا تُشْرَوْ الْإِسْتِعَاذَةُ. It is not lawful to recite the isti'adha بَيْنَ يَدَيْ كَلَامٍ مَحْبُوبٍ as a forward as an introduction to a statement that we like. غير قراءة القرآن. Apart from recitation of the Quran al-Azim. He says, لهذا, for this point, فَبَدْءُ بَعْضِ الْمُتَسَلِّينَ. The beginning of some people who try to make sunnah, how many sunnah, fashion sunnah, who start their statement in the Baqi Hadithin, when they start a talk, أو كلام وعظيم, or some sermons, وَنَحْوِهِ بِالِسْتِعَذَةِ, and things like that, they are starting it with istiaza, la asla lahum. وَلَا تُشْرَوْ الْإِسْتِعَذَةُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ كَلَامِ مَحْكَلَامٍ مَحْبُوبٍ غَيْرِ كِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَنَحْوِهِ لَا تُشْرَوْ بَدْءُ ذَلِكِ بِالْإِسْتِعَذَةِ. So starting any of those kinds of things with al-istiaza is not lawful. And to start it with al-istiaza is what? لا أصل له. It does not have a proof in the Sharia. Kulari anami shida sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't come on the minbar to start khutbah with A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah is a scholar in our time. Ko? Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim long ago mentioned it in Ighathatul Ahfaz. We can go back to Ibn al-Qayyim's statement. We should not be reciting A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim to start a khutbah or to start a lecture or to start a talk or to start any other thing that is not Quran. When should we say A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan and want to read Quran? A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafsihi wa nafsi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. If a person finishes it, their brothers, I think, are like when you be a candidate. So let's not do that. So the question will naturally arise, how then do we start khutbah? Oh, la sheman bere khutbah. They appoint you now. Let's see, khatib or imam. Which one will you like? Khatib or imam? Imam or khatib. If they appoint you khatib, how do you start the khutbah? This is what we want to tell us. The first thing to do when you start khutbah is to start bilhamdala. What do you start with? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Wassana'i alallahi. Praising Allah, thanking Him and glorifying Him. Sometimes you hear our father say, "Ah, he have a book here. Oh, my have a Akinyo. Have a the mamu wani ile osi. Akinyo the mamu wani le otu. Akinyo ile otu belede o. Enko lambawe o. Baba wani le ani. Eka boti Juma la." لا مطبئ إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار بنا بشي من در خطباني And this is the khutbah of nikah. This is the khutbah of nikah. This is the khutbah of Jummah. He comes before his other statements on the day of Jummah. All these are established in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Sunan al-Nasa'i. The hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, Sahih Muslim. The hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sahih Muslim. The hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Sunan al-Nasa'i. Let's take one or two of them. Kama salai soka kanwe. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakhtubu al-Nas. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give khutbah to the people. In another riwayah, it says, Kanat khutbatu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawm al-Jum'ah. The khutbah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jum'ah starts with Yahmadullah. He will thank Allah wa yufni alayhi. He will praise and glorify him. Bima huwa ahluhu, in the best of manners as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Summa yakul, then he will say, Man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lahu, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu, wa khairul hadithi kitabullahi. This is what Jabir reported in Sahih Muslim. That's why he read it lengthy. It is from three hadiths combined. So Jabir said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ وَيُسْمِي عَلَيْهِ. So in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, we got how he used to do that. How did he used to do that? إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنْفُسِنَا وَسَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا and so on. Then he makes التشهد. He says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ. In another riwayah, after that, he will now say, Amma ba'd, after all that he has said. He will say, Amma ba'd, fa'inna khayra al-hadithi kitabullahi, wa khayru al-huda huda muhammadin, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa sharra al-umuri, muhdathatuha, wa kullu bid'atin dalala. This also occurs in Sahih Muslim and Sunan Abi Dawud. This, Al-Imam Ibn Khuzayma in his Sahih, when he mentioned this hadith of Jabir, he said, Rahimahullah, Babu Sifati Khutbati Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Akujakbara Luri Sifatu Khutbati Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way the Messenger used to give khutbah, wa bad'uhu fiha, and the way he will commence his khutbah, bihamdillahi wa sana'i alayhi, by praising Allah and thanking him and then giving the words of glorification to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the tabweeb that Imam Ibn Khuzayma gave to the hadith of Jabir we just read to us. Like we said, there are similar reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. If you combine those reports, you will have all what you heard us reciting. That is called Khutbatul Haja. Khutbatul Haja. The khutbah that we read
during every necessity. We read those, we read the khutbah. Now Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said something about this khutbah. He said rahimahullah that wali hada, because of all these evidences, he brought those ahadith that we gave. He said it's tuhibba, it is encouraged. وَفُعِلَتْ فِي مُخَاطَبَةِ النَّاسِ. And this khutbatul haja, it is given when you address people, umuman wa khususan. Whether the people is in a general address, or you are just addressing a number of people. Someone, Imam Ibn Salaba, came to the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam. This hadith also occurred in Sahih Muslim. Imam was a man who used to cure people from jinn. He made exorcism before Islam. You know, the people of Makkah used to unfortunately say the Prophet was afflicted by a jinn, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Imam came for her. He said, hey, the Imam, go and meet Muhammad. He has issues. Last summer. May Allah protect him. So the Imam came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, oh Muhammad, I say, I have word that I say if someone is afflicted. Will you allow me to say it to you? You know what the Prophet said, sallallahu Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nasta'gfiruhu, wa na'udhu billahi. He read as we have read it, sallallahu. The Imam said, A'id alay, alayya kalamak. Repeat these your words to me. To so King Bona said, Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nasta'gfiruhu, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina, wa min sayyati amalina. Man yahdihi Allah, fala mudilla lah. The Imam said, the Prophet read it to the end. The Imam said, radiyallahu anhu, because if he accepted Islam, on the spot, he went back to the people and said, hey, I have listened to sorcerers and magicians. I have listened to people that are inflicted. This one is not an infliction. So that is how powerful and influential khutbatul haja can be. So that's why Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah, umuman wa khususan. The Prophet will do that, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he's talking to the generality of the people. He will also do that even if it's in a discussion with one person. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Min ta'alim al-kitabi wa sunnati wa al-fiqhi fi dhalik. It also involves doing that if you are in a teaching session, you are teaching Quran, you are teaching sunnah, fiqh, all of these. Say khutbatul haja when you start. Wa mu'izatin nas, when you are preaching and sermonizing and admonishing the people. Say khutbatul haja. Wa mujadalatihim, even in an argument. Say khutbatul haja. An yaftatiha bihadihi al-khutbati shar'iyyati nabawiyya. It is encouraged that we should start with this khutbah that is lawful and approved and that is prophetic. وَكَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ شُيُوخُنَا Ibn Taymiyyah was saying, rahimahullah, الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ شُيُوخُنَا But our own teachers we came to learn from. زَمَانَنَا in our own times. الَّذِينَ أَدْرَكْنَاهُمْ Those we met. وَأَخَذْنَا عَنْهُمْ We took knowledge from them. وَغَيْرُهُمْ And others apart from these, our own teachers. يَفْتَتِحُونَ مَجْلِسَ التَّفْسِيرِ They will commence their sittings of explaining the Quran. Awil fiqhi, or teaching the people the rulings and the matters of the deen. Fil jawami', in the big masjids, wal madaris, and the madrasas, wa ghayriha, and in other places, bi khutbatin ukhra. They will do another khutbah, they will not say khutbatul haja. Mislu, the kind of khutbah they will give is to say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin khatamil mursaleen, وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ورضي الله عنا وعنكم وعن مشايخنا وعن جميع المسلمين أو عن سادة الحاضرين وجميع المسلمين. See, they will give these kinds of khutbah. كما رأيت قوما. Likewise, I also see people. يخطبون للنكاح. They will give khutbah of nikah. بغير الخطبة المشروع. بغير الخطبة المشروعة. They will be giving khutbah of nikah with a khutbah that is not approved in the Sharia. وكل قوم. People from different places. Lahum nau'un. They have a way they want to hum khutba wa gayru nau'il akharin. Yo ya ko sita wa ya yoku. So people of Oshogbo, they have their khutba. People of in Kaduna, they have their in Kano, they will have in Maiduguri. Everybody will have their. But there's the one the Prophet taught all of us. They left that one. He says, فَإِنَّ حَدِيثَ ابْنِ مَسْعُودِ. Because this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Sunan al-Nasa'i that has khutbatul haja, لَمْ يَخُصَّ nikah. It's not about nikah alone. وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ خُطْبَةٌ لِكُلِّ حَاجَةٍ مِّنْ فِي مُخَاطَبَةِ الْعِبَادِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. It has to do with everything that people are doing. Once they are admonishing themselves, they should say khutbatul haja. وَالنِّكَاحُ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ ذَلِكِ. And nikah is one of those things. This is the point. It says, فَإِنَّ مُرَاءَاتِ السُّنَنِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. Paying attention. السُّنَنِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. فَإِنَّ مُرَاءَاتِ السُّنَنِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. Because paying attention to the sunnah in the sharia, في الأقوال والأعمال, in our statements and in our actions, في جميع العبادات والعادات, in all our acts of worship and in our matters of custom, هو كمال الصراط المستقيم. هو ماذا؟ كمال الصراط المستقيم. That is the perfect way of being upon صراط المستقيم, on the perfect path that is not don't say scattered, that is not zigzag, haphazard. He says, وَمَا سِوَ ذَلِكِ. But any other thing apart from what we are saying, إِن لَمْ يَكُمْ مَنْهِيًا هَنْهُ. You will see that if it is not something that is prohibited, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْكُوسٌ مَرْجُوحٌ. You will see that, أُلَّا يَنِنُ مَرْجُوحٌ كُتَّيْوَا لَتِسِ. بَوْبَوْ كَمِي تَيْيُوْ مَا سَوَنِي خُطْبَةً. You see some people, they want to show progress in Arabic language. They go and construct big grammar. Alhamdulillah izil jabarut. Alhamdulillah izil jalali wal ikram. Alhamdulillah izil la la la. Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shirki. If your intention is that you want to show us that you know Arabic, we will know that you know Arabic loto. Boji ya bombe, ya loje bombe. Eywa, Allah will punish you for doing that. That khutbah will be a means of punishment for you, not reward. You want to show us? Show us now. On the day of Qiyamah, you come and meet us for us to reward you. Abi? Obapo. The more sunnatic, the better. Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah, wa ma siwa dhalik, bugba wa khutbah ten huye. Then solemnly, I can't remember who. But in lam yakum manhi anaru. If you look at them that very well, you find something prohibited inside it. If you don't find something prohibited inside it, fa innahu mankusun marjuhun. If you don't find something prohibited inside it, you see something inside it that is. You find that it is what mankus, deficient, marjuh. It does not have weight. Is because. خير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best of guidance is whose guidance? The guidance of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I like the statement a lot. It occurs in the 18th volume, page 287 of Al-Fatawa by Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Very, very good thing to do. So the least thing you will get is that if you don't follow khutbatul haja, you may be saying something that is prohibited, or you may be saying something that is what? Deficient in its nature. May Allah protect all of us. So it mentioned to us that after the khutbatul haja, we say, amma ba'd ko? after Amma Ba'd, what do we say? Kira'atul Quran. Another thing that must be in the khutbah of the Imam. Kira'atul Quran. Kira'atul Quran. Ya'la ibn Umayyah said, Annahu sami'a Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yaqra'u ala al-minbari. Wa nadau ya Malik. He heard the Prophet, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. This companion said, I heard the Prophet on the minbar reciting, Wa nadau ya Malik. You know which surah is that? Zukhruf, go. وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكِ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. Where did this start from? إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ فِي عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. Allah says the kuffar, mujrimun, the criminals, فِي عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. They will live in the punishment of the fire forever. لا يفتر عنهم. They will not be granted any sort of relief. What did he say after that? وهم فيه مبلسون. There will be a people inside Jahannam who lost all hope of reprieve. He says, وما ظلمنا. Allah says, we are not punishing them because they didn't do anything. ولكن كانوا هم الظالمون. Kanu humu zalimi. These people, they are the real evildoers. One of the things they will do is, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكِ. They will call Malik. That is the lead angel among the angels who take care of the fire. Oh Malik, لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. Tell your Lord to kill us now, so that they can rest. Today, many people commit suicide and think that once they commit suicide, they can rest. Your trouble has just started after suicide. May Allah protect all of us. So, there's no reprieve for the people of Jahannam. The point here, ikhwah, let's not go that far, is that these are the kinds of things the Prophet will read. Another iman ka Quran during khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a second hadith, we read it in the last class. When Ummu Hisham bint Haritha said she memorized Suratul Qaf, go from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both hadith occur in Sahih Muslim. Al-Imam al-Nawawi talked about both hadith. He said, fihi al-kira'atu fil khutbati. They both prove that from the sunnah of khutbah is to read Quran. وَهِيَ مَشْرُوعَةٌ بِلَا خِلَافٍ. And it is lawful and approved in the Sharia without any difference of opinion. Emma ka Quran, read Quran during your khutbah. Maji ojakwe jona, lofi gogweru, ka Quran. Read the Quran. Today we read this Quran, this part of the Quran in our khutbah. You read it, you explain to the people. As brief as you can. Aon bababa balamang ritaman shewe awon odo shewe. It is the babas we hear say this. Young people don't say it again. Hey, rujo. Oh, ka Quran. But you know the problem? Many young people don't know how to read the Quran. That is the blunt truth. Many young people don't know how to read the Quran. Not our own younger brothers. Because many of them start from Quran. But many young people you find as khutaba, oh, ma Quranika. When even the talk they are discussing half a verse of the Quran, you see them talking, muttering. Quran. Read Quran. Even when you are looking at it, you are still making mistake. That's not good. May Allah protect all of us. So from the sunnah of khutbah on the day of Jum'ah for the khatib is for him to do what? To recite Quran. Another sunnah of khutbah is raf'u sawti in the khutbah. When you make khutbah, raise your voice. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ
When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the khutbah, ihmarrat aina, his two eyes will be red. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala sawtuhu, his voice will go loud. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Wa shtadda ghadabuhu, his anger will be strong, severe. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Hatta ka'annahu munziru jayshin. To such an extent that you think that he is shouting that, my soldier, stand up! You are under attack! When an army commander wants to say that to his platoon, how is he going to say it? My soldier, stand up! You are under attack! Is that how he's going to say it? The way he will say it, that is the way the imam should give his khutbah. Oh people, ayyuhan nas, that is the way to give. And it is very, very effective. When I was telling us about a week ago, I had an experience with one of the white garment Muslim groups in Lagos. They are making Tahajjud night on Friday. It's a bid'ah. To specially select Yawm al-Jum'ah for Tahajjud is bid'ah. Now, they made that bid'ah until 5:45 in the morning. And Fajr was around 20 to 6. So they didn't eat since 10 to 15 minutes into the time of Fajr. We went to that mosque to pray. It's in Lagos. The heart of Lagos. You see them? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. Men and women, innocent men and women, who chose the leaders they have chosen. I used to tell people, when the insurgents we have in Nigeria, somebody started it, some people followed him thinking that they are sincere. Thinking, we want to do sunnah, we want to, they went with it. That's their own problem. So if you have a bad leader who misguides you, it is your own problem. It is your problem. If you have a leader that misguides you, it is your problem. You chose to be misguided. So, when I got into the masjid, subhanAllah, at that time it was around 10 minutes to 6. I gave them one shouting. Ayyuhanna, kumu lissalah, waqtu salah, ittaqul. You know, they thought that there's a bomb coming. Everybody started running here, salah. Because they are like a people who are sleeping. And an army is coming to attack them. So the way to talk to them is not, hey Joe, hey, that is a duty, hey, the law. One of our brothers here was there. So people can say, no problem. Salat. He said, okay, we'll pray now. Less than 5. Immediately they stop the sujud, they stop all the bid'ah, they come and join Salat. May Allah protect all of us. So when the imam is giving khutbah regarding something people are falling into, let me give us one example. Sometimes people receive phone calls during khutbah. We'll come back to that. You know, all what we are discussing today is regarding who? The imam. We are coming back to the rest of us. How should we behave? See, imam will ban she khutbah. Lo, bo, la, she man, she gana. Bo, ro, she, ka, she. So the imam can see him, you, stop that! He will shout. Do you think that person will do that tomorrow? He won't. He won't. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do that during his khutbah. وَاسْتُدِلَّ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ وَاسْتَدَلَّ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ اِسْكَلَفِ gives evidence with this hadith of Jabir that yustahabbu lil khatib, that the person giving khutbah, it is encouraged for him, an yufakhima amr al khutbah, that he should make big, his voice should prove that what I am saying is what is important. Wa yarfa'u sawtahu wa kalamahu, he should raise his voice and raise concern for what he is saying.
ليكون مطابقا للفصل الذي يتكلم فيه. So that it will conform with the issue that he is discussing. من ترغيبين أو ترهيبين. Maybe he is encouraging people or warning people against something. His voice should show, should exemplify what he is talking about. So these are, that is point number 11 or 12. 11, regarding the khutbah. There are other issues around that. Even though the ulama say there is a rukhsah regarding the tone of the imam's speech during his khutbah, is that if something happens that deserves a smile, the imam too can smile. Like one day in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, someone came to the masjid. You know the Arabs, the way they behave, the Bedouins. One of them came on the window and was shouting, "Oh, Muhammad, you are making khutbah? Everywhere is dry. No rain, no food, no this, no this. Will you not beg your Lord to send us rain?" The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the spot, he begged Allah, Allah, give us rain. Anas said, "We have not finished the salah. We saw the cloud round us. Before we set the slim from salah to Juma, the rains have started. The rain beat us till where? Till we got home. It did not stop. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, till Juma. They came for salah to Juma. The man came again, "Hey, Muhammad! Everywhere wants to, the rain wants to take everybody away." So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allahumma, la hawalayna, la alayna. Allahumma, hawalayna, oh our Lord, let it go around us, la alayna, don't let it come on us." And I said, when we looked up that day, we saw the rings. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, around us, the rain should go around us. La alayna, don't let it come on us. And I said, when we looked up, radiallahu anhu, what did they see? Ring of the rain. Outside the ring, there is what? Rain. But inside the ring, there is no rain. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his Sharh of Usul al-Thalatha, he said, this is evidence that there is Allah. You call him, no. And he did what? He answered you, no. It means it's inna Allah sami'un mujibun. Allah hears and answers dua. So when that Bedouin came to say, "Hey," he was shouting, the Prophet smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama said, this is evidence that somebody can do something that can make the khatib to do what? To smile. So that's the point. Because of time, we'll proceed. Rafu'u yadayn. You know, our imams do something. When after the khutbah, they want to make a sign. Etewa adwa. And the ignorant follow us too. May Allah protect us. They say, Bismillah. Allahumma jilinga, they say, Amen. Allahumma jilinga, they say, Amen. This etewa adwa. Don't do it again. There is a curse upon it from a companion, radiallahu anhu. Etewa adwa. Ma soteka we, etewa adwa maole mamu, khatib. Don't say that the people should raise their hands for dua again. You too, don't do it again. No. The sunnah when you want to make dua on the day of Juma is to do like this. You stretch your finger, the first finger, your sababa. You point it just as you are doing tahiyya. Our imamu, on the day of Juma, he wants to make dua after the khutbah. He will point his hand like this. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. The people will say, Amin. Ba'da iz hadaytana. Amin. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Amin. Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman. Amin. Wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. Amin. Wa karrih ilayna al-kufra al-fusuq wal-isyan. Amin. Allahumma ja'alna min al-rashidin. Amin. Like that. Not kate wa yuwana mateo. Hussein ibn Abd al-Rahman, one of the Tabi'un, said, "Kuntu ila jambi Umar ibn Ruwayba."
I was near Umara ibn Ruwayba.
He's a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Saqaf. I was near him one day.
Wa Bishru yakhtubuna.
Bishr is one of the children of Muawiyah ibn Hakam. He's one of the children of Marwan ibn Hakam. Marwan ibn Hakam was the Amir. He made his son Bishr as the governor of Medina. So that one used to lead Salah in the masjid. So once Umara ibn Ruwayba was in the masjid, when Bishr ibn Marwan ibn Hakam was the imam.
Falamma da'a,
at the time he started to make supplications, rafa ayadayhi, he stretched his two hands. وفي رواية, in another report, عن أمارة ابن رويبة, from أمارة ابن رويبة, أنه رأى بشرى ابن, رأى بشرى ابن مروان, he saw بشر ابن مروان على المنبر, on the منبر, رافعا يديه يدعو, he saw him on the منبر raising his hands and supplicating,
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا,
ربنا آتنا. Hear what Umar said to him. Radiyallahu anhu. Faqala Umar. Umar said, Radiyallahu anhu. La'ana Allahu hatain al-yadayn. May Allah curse those two hands. Ulama say, La'ana Allahu hatain al-yadayn. Awa mijijiyayn. Allah has taken these two hands away from his rahmah. Ulama say, limada? Limukhalafatihima as-sunnah. Because the two hands, what is yakba sunnah? What is yakba sunnah? What is yakba sunnah? So don't do it again. Umar ibn Ruwayba as-Saqafi. He says, radiyallahu anhu, la'ana Allahu hataini al-yudayyatain. You can say hatain al-yadain. You can also say hatain al-yudayyatain. Those two hands. May Allah curse be on it. In another riwayah it says qabbaha Allahu hatain al-yadain. Qabbaha Allahu. May Allah take away those two hands. Take away rahmah from those two hands. Laqad ra'aytu Rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yakhtubu, while he was giving the khutbah, idha da'a yakulu hakaza. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets to the place of dua, he will do like this, wa rafa'a sababata wahdaha, and he raised only the sababa alone. Wa fi riwayatin ashara bi isbihi al-musaddiha. In another riwayah it says, Ashara bi isbihi. He pointed with his finger, which of them? Al-musabbihati, the one with which he makes a-tasbih. He pointed the hand. So when we make dua during khutbah, the imam is making dua during khutbah, what should he do? He should point his hand. Who said so? Umar ibn Ruwayba. And when he saw Bishr, the son of Marwan ibn Hakam, doing the opposite, what did he say to him? La'ana Allahu hatain al-yadayn. May Allah's curse be upon those two hands. Let's not do it again. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, fihi anna sunnah. This is evidence that the sunnah is, Allah yarfa al-yad fil khutbah. The Imam should not raise the two hands during khutbah. Don't say, if someone who knows the sunnah very well stands up and say, La an Allahu hatain al-yadayn, can you master feel so? What will the masjid say? Maybe Islam didn't hear. Someone, you must say, etewa, yata dua. Don't say, oh, wow, it's big for my power, what we did. The whole masjid is here. That shows the companions' strictness with respect to the sunnah. For them, Because it is different from the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is in a tikka? It is far away from rahmah. If it is upon sunnah, it has rahmah. When it is away from sunnah, it is bereft of rahmah. That's why they say, la'an Allahu al-yudayyatain, ha'tainil yudayyatain. Allah's curse be, Allah's rahmah be taken away from those two hands. We saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he made dua. What will he do? He will point his first finger and he will make the dua. That is the sunnah. When the khatib makes dua, what should he do? He should point his first finger and make the dua. He should not say, he should not tell what, and he should not tell people to do what? To tell what. To do so, it is wrong completely. There are a few other issues. I think we can stop here today, inshallah. I think the major issues have been mentioned. We can stop here today. The other issue is about Sawm Ramadan. Most likely, inshallah, Ramadan will start tomorrow. Let's not forget that we should actually intend to fast. Start intending, I want to fast. And the women mostly, they have issues. I'm breastfeeding. What should I do? Make fidya. Look for a fasting person that you can feed. Or I'm pregnant. What should I do? Look for a fasting person that you can feed. Because Allah says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدِيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ. For those who يُتِيقُونَهُ, they can fast though, but that fast will bring hardship to them, difficulty upon them. فِدِيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ. They should make fidya. They should feed a poor fasting person. So people will donate money. So many people have come to begging people to bring money so that they can cook for people. Those people they are cooking for, they may not be masakino. Don't give your fidya money to them. The fidya food is for the masakin. You must be sure that your food is going to a miskin. Because Allah specified it. Fidyatun ta'amu miskin is tafsiriya for fidya. It explains what is the fidya about. It's ta'amu miskin. That is a provision of food for those who are poor. Someone can ask you, Mama and al-fidya, just tell him, ta'amu miskin. Feeding a poor person. The food you provide a poor person. So if you give people money and then they go and buy the food and bring it to somebody who is rich, what have you done? Be sure that you have done it well. So women, ensure that you cook the food and perhaps take it to the person. Maybe your husband takes it to the person. If it's a woman, you can take it to the person. The same thing applies to old men and women who can't fast. Fidyatun ta'amu miskin. But for the traveling people who are travelers, or those who are sick, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Count them and replace that counting on other days. Why? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَىٰ وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَىٰ. Allah likes ease for you. Allah. He does not like to bring any difficulty for you. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So I think these are basic issues about fasting. Sahur, take sahur. فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةٌ. Taking sahur has barakah. So take sahur. وَبِلْ أَصْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. When you take sahur, ask Allah for forgiveness. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-mutasahhirin. Allah and His messenger pray. Allah showers His blessings and mentions them in high noble community. And the angels beg Allah to shower His blessings on who? Al-mutasahhirin. Those who are making sahur. So make sahur. And the best thing to make sahur with is what? The dry days. The dry days. Some imams will say, Eso kao, lasu kiarewu. Atamuru ta'un, alifu, ba'un, ta'un. O yato si asamuru alifun ba'un ta'un sa'un tamuru eso asamuru is being interpreted. Atamuru is dabinu. Dabinu lo nje tamuru lo wo ti are dada ki se so. Yoruba se a won fe ka fe so sinu. You see them buying oranges. Ah, awon apa yin ti tu nti kutu. Dabinu ni o. Dabinu, and the best of dabinu to you is a rotab. The wet ones that are not dry. If you don't find those ones, then what? Then the dry ones. If you don't find that one, then what? Then water. So those are the three things for iftar. But for sahur, the best thing to make sahur is the dry day. Some of us like it so much. I don't take any other than that. If you see me taking any other thing apart from dry days, maybe I don't have dry days at all. I like dry days in sahur and small water. Bismillah. I so much like it. Dry date and water. Why are you protesting? Amalaya. Gakinio. Gaki. That is Gakio. No. No question, please. No question. No question, because it will take the time. Okay, he's asking, next week, how do we handle the situation next week? We can sit between Zuhr and Asr. Is it possible? In fact, I think we can do that on Saturday, we can do that on Sunday. In Ramadan, it's a good deed, inshallah. We can increase it. So instead of having it on Sundays alone, we can sit Saturday, Zuhr to Asr, Sunday, Zuhr to Asr. My major concern is for women. But I think by Asr, they can go back home and start preparing iftar for their family. Is Zuhr to Asr convenient for us? Now? Between Zuhr and Asr? The tafsir here is after Salatul Asr, I think. They announced it last Juma. The tafsir in this masjid is after Salatul Asr. So we can sit between Zuhr and Asr. By that, we should finish Salatul Juma and finish Salatul Eidain, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله.